Revelation 22, verse 12, behold, I am coming quickly, and my reward is with me. Give to everyone according to his work. You see, this is a repeat of our Lord's promise that he will return, and when he does, he's going to bring rewards with him. He will separate the lost from the saved. Everyone will receive rewards according to the works that they have done. Today, there's not a lot said in our services today in churches about rewards. Most of it's really neglected. We certainly would think, well, no one deserves rewards, but we know that they will be given anyway. God has made purpose and plans for them to be given anyway. If we could just let the goodness of God sink in, I think more of us would do a lot more to honor him. God loves us so much, and he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. John said, look to yourselves that we do not lose those things that we work for, that we may receive a full reward. 2 John chapter 8. Verse 13, I am the Alpha and I am the Omega. Anybody know what that means? First and last letter of the Greek alphabet. The beginning and the end, the first and the last. The Lord uses these terms to identify himself. Nobody else can use them because he talks of his deity. Verse 14, blessed are those who do his commandments, that they may have the right to the tree of life and may enter through the gates into the city. Our Lord's words here imply that there is a choice we have between washing our robes or leaving them dirty. And those who choose to wash their robes will accept Christ will be blessed with two rewards, access to the tree of life and permission to pass through the gates of the holy city. Those who will leave their robes dirty by refusing to accept Christ will be rejecting as well their rewards. On the Sermon on the Mount, we hear that here there the teachings of Jesus. He has recorded there the Beatitudes. It's been said they've been referred to as beautiful attitudes. Beatitudes or beautiful attitudes. Did you know Revelation also contains Beatitudes? In Revelation there are seven recorded. In the Sermon on the Mount, does anybody remember how many are there? There's more. There's nine. In Revelation, there are seven. Blessed is he who reads and those who hear the words of this prophecy and keep those things which are written in. Revelation 1:3. Blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on. Revelation 14, verse 13. Blessed is he who watches and keeps his garments, lest he walk naked and they see his shame. Revelation 16:15. Blessed are those who are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb. Revelation 19:9. Blessed and holy is he who has part in the first resurrection. Over such the second death has no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ and shall reign with him 1,000 years. Revelation chapter 20, verse 6. Blessed is he who keeps the words of the prophecy of this book. Revelation 22 and 7. Blessed are those who do his commandments, that they may have the right to the tree of life, and they may enter through the gates of the city. Revelation 22 and verse 14. Verse 15, but outside are dogs, sorcerers, sexual immoral, murderers, and idolaters, and whoever loves and practices the lie. Those who will not be blessed with access to the tree of life and of the holy city are those who are in this list. Instead of eating of the fruit of the tree of life, they will be involved in eating the garbage of hell. Instead of access to the holy city, they will be scavenging like dogs in the lake of fire. But the cowardly, unbelieving, abominable murderers, sexually immoral, sorcerers, and adulterers, all liars will have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone. Revelation chapter 21, verse 8. Verse 16, I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify to you these things in the churches. I am the root and offspring of David, the bright and morning star. Here again, Jesus reiterates those first two verses of chapter 1. Revelation is a testimony that he gave to an angel for delivery to the churches. He's referring to the churches in the very beginning of the book of Revelation. Remember the seven stars or seven angels? The seven angels represent seven churches. The root and offspring of David comes from an Old Testament reference to the Messiah. Jesus is the Messiah. The bright morning star comes from the Old and New Testament. And Jesus identifies himself as the one who will appear near the end of the earth's darkest hour, the tribulation period. And he will bring brighter day to the world during the time of the millennium. The I Ams of Revelation. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, says the Lord, who is, who was, and who has come, the Almighty. Revelation 1:8. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last. Revelation chapter 1, verse 11. I am the first and the last. Revelation 1:17. I am he who lives and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. Revelation 1, verse 18. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. Revelation 21, verse 6. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Revelation chapter 22 and 13. I am the root and offspring of David and the bright morning star. Verse 16, what we just read. Verse 17. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. Let him who hears say, come. Let him who thirsts, come. Whoever desires, let him take of the water of life freely. This is God's final call. It's a call for all believers to come. It's a call for all believers to tell all unbelievers to come. The Holy Spirit works in and through the bride, which is the church. Christ is the head of the church. It's an invitation to all unbelievers to come to him and drink of his salvation, of the water of life. Let him who thirsts come. Those who are tired of living without Jesus, come. I tell parents who said their children aren't serving the Lord, but we raised them in church, I pray that they get so thirsty that they will come. If you have children that aren't serving the Lord today, I pray that they get so thirsty they find no other place to quench their thirst but Jesus Christ, the one in whom you took them to Sunday school to receive them. I hope they get so thirsty. I hope they realize life without Jesus, there is no other kind of life. If you ever thought you could make it without him, wow, I bet you're here today because you've had a situation like that in your life. But you tried to live without him. It didn't work out so well, did it? Everything turns kind of south. Everything goes sour. Without him, put Jesus first. He wants to bless you. He loves you. He wants to bless you. He wants you to prosper as thy soul does prosper. Put him first. Why does it take so long to figure that out? Put him first. Your parents wasn't stupid and foolish and weren't making a mistake. They put him first. Why don't you put him first? I'm glad my parents loved him. I am so grateful that they love the Lord and that they put him first. That's why I'm in this pulpit today. You tired of living without him? Come. God invites all who desire to receive his free gift of salvation through Jesus Christ to come. Revelation verse 18. I testify to everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book. If anyone adds to these things, God will add to him the plagues that are written this book. Revelation was given by God. It is his word alone. He alone has authority over it. Anyone who adds anything new will feel the wrath of God upon him. There are certainly religious groups today that teach God is love, but they refute the message of salvation. The wrath of God, the judgment of God, they refuse to talk about. If you're not willing to talk about it, that's simply subtracting from his word. It's subtracting from his word if you don't share it and talk about it. Some don't talk about tribulation period or hell. That's subtracting. Would you call this adding or taking away from the Word of God? Here are some examples. That Jesus is really the archangel Michael. Jehovah's Witnesses share that. Hell is really just the grave. Jehovah's Witnesses. God rather than Jesus was once the immortal human being. Mormons. Worthy humans are going to become gods and goddesses. Mormons. God is nothing but a cosmic force, not a personal being. New Age. Eve's sin was a sexual affair with Satan. The moons. If God struck down Ananias and Sapphira for introducing sin into the early church, what do you think he'll do with those who do the same today? Adding and subtracting from God's word. If you don't preach it, you don't teach it, it's adding and subtracting just the same. A lot of churches don't want to preach it. They don't want to share it. I'm sad for those people. They're not given the whole truth. It's watered down. It's a subtraction. Verse 19, if anyone takes away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part from the book of life, from the holy city, from the things which are written in this book. Taking away this book brings on another part of God's warning. Anyone who deletes anything from the book risks having his share in the tree of life and the holy city being erased. It is a book of prophecy. It never intended to be written as a book of history. Revelation was a book of prophecy. Blessed is he who reads and those who hear the words of this prophecy and keep those things which are written therein. Revelation chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed is he who keeps the words of the prophecy of this book. Revelation 22, 7. Do not seal the words of the prophecy of this book. Revelation 22, 10. Do not seal, means share it. It's there. It's in black and white. Share it. Those who read it are blessed, the scripture says. For I testify to everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book. If anyone adds to these things, God will add to him the plagues that are written in the book. Revelation 22, 18. If anyone takes away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God will take away his part from the book of life, from the holy city, and from the things which are written in the book. Revelation 22 and 19. Revelation chapter 22, verse 20. He who testifies to these things says, surely I am coming quickly. Amen, even so come, Lord Jesus. This is his final promise. It's in answer to the promise of our Lord's return. And John responds, amen, even so come, Lord Jesus. This is John responding. And he urges Jesus to come back. Verse 21, a final note of grace. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. What beautiful last words in the Bible to remind us that grace makes salvation possible. Grace will keep us out of the lake of fire. Let us pass through the gates of the holy city. Grace has been said by one. God's riches at Christ's expense. Grace to you and peace from him who is, who was, and who is to come. From the seven spirits who are before his throne. Revelation 1:4. Salvation. Everyone needs it. Romans 3:23. Salvation. Everyone can have it. John 3:16. Salvation. Only Jesus can give it, John 14, 6. Salvation, only believers receive it, John chapter 3 and verse 36. Would you stand? Precious Lord and Savior, what a wonderful day this has been. You've accomplished so much today. You've spoken to our hearts. Your word has brought comfort and encouragement to us. I thank you, Lord, for that privilege I've had today, this morning, to stand before your people, to share your precious word. I want to thank you, Lord, for a wonderful week. And Lord, I want to thank you for speaking to these who didn't have such a wonderful week. But I look forward to another wonderful week with you, Lord. I wouldn't want to take another week without you. It's so much more precious with you. It's been good to have been here, Lord. Thank you for our time together today. It's time for us to go home. Give us all a safe trip to our homes and give us another wonderful week. Thank you so much for all you've done. And now, Lord, may you bless each and every family. May your blessings go with them and the blessings of your precious word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Lord bless you.